Part 1. Foundational Concepts for Helping Without Hurting. Initial Thoughts. Please take a few minutes to answer the following questions before we begin the next chapter. Number 1. Why did Jesus come to earth? Number 2. For what specific sin or sins was Old Testament Israel sent into captivity? Do not just say disobedience, be specific. For example, the Israelites were constantly robbing banks. Number 3. What is the primary task of the church? Chapter 1. Why did Jesus come to earth? Why did Jesus come to earth? Most Christians have a ready answer to this question. However, there are actually nuanced differences in how Christians think about this most basic issue, and those small differences can have dramatic consequences for all endeavors, including how the church responds to the plight of the poor. Let's examine how Jesus himself understood his mission. Jesus' earthly ministry began one Sabbath day in a synagogue in Nazareth. Week in and week out, Jews gathered in this synagogue to worship under the chafing yoke of the Roman Empire. Aware of Old Testament prophecy, these worshipers were longing for God to send the promised Messiah, who would restore the kingdom to Israel, reigning on David's throne forever. But centuries had gone by with no Messiah, and the Romans were running the show. Hope was probably in short supply. It is in this context that the son of a carpenter from that very town stood up and was handed a scroll from the prophet Isaiah. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written as recorded in Luke 4, 1b-21. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." A shiver must have gone down the spine of the worshipers that day. Isaiah had prophesied that a king was coming, who would usher in a kingdom unlike anything the world had ever seen. Could it be that Isaiah's prophecies were really about to come true? Could it really be that a kingdom whose domain would increase without end was about to begin? Was it really possible that justice, peace, and righteousness were about to be established forever? Would this king really bring healing to the parched soil, the feeble hands, the shaky knees, the fearful hearts, the blind, the deaf, the lame, the mute, the brokenhearted, the captives, and the sinful souls, and would proclaim the year of Jubilee for the poor? Jesus' answer to all these questions was a resounding yes, declaring, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." In the same chapter, Jesus summarized his ministry as follows in verse 43. "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent." The mission of Jesus was and is to preach the good news of the kingdom of God, to say to one and all, "I am the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and I am using my power to fix everything that sin has ruined." As pastor and theologian Tim Keller states, "The kingdom is the renewal of the whole world through the entrance of supernatural forces. As things are brought back under Christ's rule and authority, they are restored to health, beauty, and freedom." Of course, there is both a now and a not yet to the kingdom. The full manifestation of the kingdom will not occur until there is a new heaven and a new earth. Only then will